Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside, folks? Hey, y'all, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and for the next hour or so, we're going to be talking about gardening. You've tuned in to Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Gestalt Gardener. Our host is Felder, me. I'm the usual guy here, and our producers are awesome, Java Chapman. Hope y'all survived Thanksgiving. If you had family, y'all got along pretty well and all like that, but we're going to be talking about gardening, and also thunder gourds. It's that time of year. The Craftsman's Guild of Mississippi is having their big to-do in the fairgrounds in Jackson. I think you'd enjoy coming there. We're going to talk a little bit about it, but mostly it's going to be gardening. It's rain is starting to slack off. It's going to be a pretty weekend. Plenty of stuff to do, but let's just talk about it. Stick with us, folks. After the news, we're going to be here at MPB, and we're going to get muddy.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing, and we're talking about gardening. Whew, it rained really good at my place last night, but I noticed that North Mississippi got hammered, still getting hammered, but those of you down in South Mississippi and in Jackson saw some blue skies just when I walked in the studio a little while ago. So anyway, for the next hour, let's talk about gardening. If you've got some things you want to yak about, it's real easy. It's free no matter where you are. Toll free, 1-877-MPB-RING. MPB, of course, stands for Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Ring, I don't know what the numbers are, but you can remember 877-MPB-RING, and we got the lines wide open. Not much going on this time of year. There's a couple of events I want to promote in particular. Some things going on in my little garden, some things I've been doing, getting ready for winter, repotting stuff and stealing flowers. Liberating some flowers from people's yards when they weren't looking and, you know, that kind of stuff. The usual things that we diggers do, determined independent gardeners. And some things that you want to yak about that you could be doing or want to do, or you've noticed something kind of weird going on, maybe want to head some stuff off before next year. Give us a call. Toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Two of the things going on this weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, there's going to be a photography exhibit at Crosby Arboretum. Crosby Arboretum is down at Picayune. It's a really cool place. Still got a lot of fall stuff, really creepy things. You walk around their raised beds through pitcher plants and pine savannas and native trees and around the beautiful pond that they've created. And, of course, the international award-winning Pinecote Pavilion. Anyway, that's going to be tomorrow afternoon. The photographer is going to be a woman named Nadine Phillips, who is a Native Plant Society person, and she has a lot of attention to detail, real close-ups of bugs and flowers and things like that. I think you'd enjoy that. Plus, it's a good outing. So if you're down in South Mississippi, swing by Crosby Arboretum Saturday afternoon. Anytime you're anywhere close to Jackson this weekend, today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Craftsman Guild of Mississippi is having their annual Chimneyville Festival, and I got a sort of a sneak preview last night when all the craftsmen and artists were setting up their exhibits. I walked around and chatted with a lot of old friends and took a few pictures, and there's some you can actually see if you want to go online about it, but MPB is sponsoring, one of the sponsors of this thing. There's going to be folks from MPB right down there, and all sorts of educational exhibits going on all 3 days. It opens at 9, it closes at 7, except on Sunday. I think it closes about 3 or 4, something like that. But anyway, it's at the fairgrounds, the Trademark Center. There's some awfully nice garden stuff there. Big stuff, little stuff, crafty stuff, artist stuff, gift stuff, all sorts of things made by the people who are sitting in the booths telling you about it, talking about it, and all. One of my favorites is a couple who, well, there's several gourd artists down there. They carve, they paint, they do incredible things with gourds. But one is they make these, what they call thunder gourds. They have this membrane on the bottom, like a drum thing, and a spring hanging up. When you shake it, sounds just like thunder. And if you tap it, I just love this thing. You can't get in my cabin without bumping into it. It really irritates a lot of people, but that's the way it goes. Anyway, some other things. And if you'd like to see some examples of this, some of the stuff that I've gotten over the years from Craftsman Mississippi that are in my garden. You can go to my blog. It's Felder Rushing Blog. And click on that right at the top. I have a thing about my truck that's been painted by several different artists, including on a feather. Really, really funny stuff. Really cool detail stuff. But also down at the bottom, I've got pictures of some of the garden art in my garden done by real craftsmen from this part of the country. I think you might enjoy that. If you like it, click on like. If you want to do a comment, give me a comment. But mostly just go to Felder Rushing Blog. I won't say anything, I promise. And just click on, go to my blog, and it's right there. It's got all sorts of fun stuff made by craftsmen of Mississippi that I have in my garden. Glass, wood, metal, all sorts of stuff. I think, if nothing else, it'll sort of give you a little bit of a cheer first thing in the morning. A couple of other things, but before we do that, let's start doing what we do best, and that's yak about gardening. Going to go to Aberdeen and talk with Ernie. Hey, Ernie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
So far, so good. What's up?
Well, I moved down to the south from Iowa about 2 years ago.
You sound like you've been here a long time, Ernie. Excuse me, but you don't sound like you've been in Iowa for very long.
Oh, well, that's where I grow. That's where I grew up at.
Growed up, okay.
Anyway, I do part-time landscaping on the side to make a little money. And this time of the year is when I normally stop doing planting and redoing flower beds and stuff, because I thought that the cool soil temperatures combined with the wet weather, the plants would not really thrive. They may just sit there and get root rot. Am I correct in that, or can you continue to plant through the winter?
Oh, you can plant through the winter. Matter of fact, late fall and winter is the best time to set out trees and shrubs, because down here in the south, our soil stays warm and roots will actually continue to grow, even though the top is dormant. But not only that, the rains we get over the wintertime in the early spring will settle the dirt around roots and all, so the plants will be better established. So those set out in the fall or winter take a whole lot less care, maybe not any care at all, the first summer, because they're already established, all like that. So if you, the big challenge here, Ernie, is finding a time when the dirt's not too muddy to dig. So, but if you can do a pretty good job of soil prep, and really important, when you pull plants out of the pot, loosen up the potting soil on the roots, stir that potting soil in the dirt, but be sure to really loosen the roots up, and then plant them, water them in real good, and they're basically done. They'll continue to grow roots right through the wintertime. Trees, shrubs, things like that, perennials even, but just not winter annuals.
Okay, well, that's a tremendous help to me. I really do appreciate it.
It does.
I have just basically stopped right now, but since I know that, I will continue then, because I have some other customers that want their beds redone and plants put in and things like that.
Yeah, your biggest problem is going to be tracking mud back in the house when you get home.
No, I won't have a problem with that. My wife will have a broom handy. So I won't have a problem with that.
One other thing, Ernie, here in the south, because we have really some real warm spells and bright windy weather in the wintertime, it's really important to keep the soil from drying out. So as soon as you get through planting stuff, and again, be sure to loosen up the roots of pot-grown plants. But as soon as you get done, put a couple of 3 inches of bark mulch on top. Now, you can use pine straw, but bark mulch settles in quicker. It pours out like cornflakes, and as it decomposes, it'll feed the soil. But that'll protect the soil. It'll keep the temperatures pretty even over the wintertime. So just an inch or two of bark.
Well, I do that, actually, and around the plants, I go considerably deeper. That way I do not have weeds coming back.
Yeah. Do it in a ring, though. Not a. You've been here long enough to know what fire ant mounds are.
Yes, I do.
So do a ring around it rather than a pile up on the plants. We have voles. And other critters that'll stay down in that warm mulch, and they'll just out of boredom, they'll chew on the bark of trunks. So pull it back from the trunks a little bit. Anyway, you're good to go. You do not get a pass from me.
Well, I do appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, I want to ask you this: did your wife put you up to calling me saying she's tired? She wants you to get back out of the house.
Well, not exactly. Actually, I had a part-time job, and I just retired today. But what? I live on 4 acres, and it needs work done. And I've been just busy doing all kinds of other things, and I'm telling her, be patient, honey. I'm going to get to our yard. Well, now it's time.
Congratulations on retiring, and you get a pass from me. You don't have to do nothing this whole weekend, Ernie.
I'm going to tell her that, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. Hey, welcome to the South. See ya. All righty, Ernie moved to the South. He's already got retired, and already he's got a honeydew list. Anyway, let's go up to Oxford and talk with Anna. Hey, Anna, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
So far, so good.
I was just walking in the park in the rain, and I noticed there's a pine tree which has bark stripped off it, about 1.5 inches wide, and it's, I would have thought deer, but it goes at least 20 feet up. Okay.
Just a strip?
Just several strips.
Yeah, that's lightning. That's just plain old ordinary garden variety lightning.
Well, yeah, but it's not black.
Doesn't have to be.
Because it goes, it's around the whole trunk.
Oh,
it must be about 7 or 8 strips.
But they're
some
going up.
Low, some high.
But they're going up and down though, right?
They're going up.
Yeah, that's lightning.
Well, it just seems so strange because normally you'd expect. You know, burn marks or something?
Nope, not me. But, you know, lightning can strike people without hurting them. It can go down the outside of a tree without doing any damage at all. It can blow a tree wide open and blow off parts of strips, or it can kill a tree without leaving a mark on it. Depends on the strength of the bolt and the moisture content of the tree and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But trees get struck by lightning all the time without getting damaged at all or killed without a mark. But if it's got streaks up and down it, that's lightning.
Well, as I said, it looked like it might have been deer honing their antlers, but when it goes up 20 feet, and it's so strange because it's so circular, you know, maybe 8 inches apart all the way around the trunk.
But they're going up and down. The streaks going up and down the tree.
Yeah. That's lightning.
That's lightning.
And it's orange underneath. It's a pine tree, so it's orange underneath the bark.
Yeah. Now, there is a disease. It's called rust that makes it orange stuff, but usually you only see it in the springtime.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm wondering if they're off the ground that much. I wonder if it's Father Christmas reindeer maybe on their way to the ground.
Yeah, that would be a point.
Hey, if you get a chance, take a picture of it and send it to me because, you know, it could be other stuff too.
But, I'm going to ask the master gardeners.
Oh, don't ask them. Send me a picture.
I'll see what I can do because I don't have a cell phone.
Okay. Well, get a master gardener to take a cell phone and send it to me.
Okay.
They're good
we'll
folks.
Do.
Hey, cheers, Anna.
Same. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Now let's go to, I can't tell where this is. Fafondrin, Joanna. Is it Johanna? Joanna?
Johanna.
Hey, what's going on in my neighborhood?
In your neighborhood, I've got two questions. First of all, in Waynesboro, I would like to plant wildflowers. I've been wanting to do this for years, like a meadow. But on the place I want to plant it, there's like, I think it's centipede. Do I need to kill the grass first, or can I kill the grass and put the seeds down at the same time?
Well, she wanted to convert the whole thing to a meadow?
A big patch of it. I just feel like that would be better than all this grass and trying to keep this mode. I like something butterfly, wildlife friendly.
Okay, now you know in Wayne County, people are going to talk about you like you're just not mowing your grass.
I don't care. I just so don't care.
Well, listen, here's the thing to do. Is this in Waynesboro?
It's really out in the country.
Okay. There's a couple of real simple tricks. I'll answer your question in just a second, but let me give you a couple of tips. First of all, if you'll do it in a almost like a pattern, like streaks or curves or, you know, not blocks, but if you do solid wildflowers, they don't really stand out. It looks like you just did mow your grass any. But if you'll do what they do in a lot of botanic gardens, particularly in Europe, is they'll mow a path. They'll leave a mowing path that's maybe 2 mowers width and put a bench out there or a birdhouse or, you know, a little obelisk or something out there that catches your eye, and they mow around it and to it. That way, you know, all summer long, you have it. It looks like you're doing it on purpose, and you'll actually get out there and sit in there and enjoy the butterflies and the birds and stuff like that. So create a sitting spot or a place, and leave a mowing strip to it.
Okay, like a designation spot.
Exactly, exactly. It could be curved. You could, you know, you could do an elaborate, you know, you could have several out there, but have one or two or three obvious mowing paths leading to a place where you want to go. Okay. And that way, no matter how bad it looks part of the year, it'll still look like you're doing it on purpose.
Okay.
And then the second thing, put you a couple of sections of plain old-fashioned split rail fence, little short section, two or three sections here and there, that you can plant some small native trees like sumac or hollies or something like that, almost creating a park-like effect. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it
could be anything. Stuff you pull up along the roadside. You know, just sumac is a great one. And that's where you put your taller things, perennials like a fall goldenrod and the narrow leaf sunflowers. And in other words, create little what I call beauty spots with a naturalistic hard feature. Split rail fence is the easiest thing to go with because they're instant.
Start with like the trees and the goldenrods and come down the smaller stuff and then have the bench and stuff and the mowed in the front of it.
Yeah, or you know, if it's a big enough area, put your sitting area, you know, out in the middle or to one side or towards the back or something, and just have these here and there, just sort of scattered. You know, have you ever watched where people do a horse jumping? You know, they run around in circles and jump over stuff?
Yeah.
That effect. And that's where you put your permanent stuff. Then when it comes to the wildflowers, if you'll simply stop mowing the grass, mow the walking areas, the perimeter areas, but just simply stop mowing the grass, and it will look like a meadow the first year. But what you do all this fall is find little pockets here and there, pull the grass back where the dirt is exposed, and put you a few wildflowers just here and there along your path. And what'll happen, they'll grow this first year, and they'll look like little bouquets out there. And then next year, they will throw seeds everywhere.
Should I not? The people that sell the seeds, they sell like an herbicide just for grass. And I didn't know if I really needed to do that or not. My first inclination was no. I thought wildflowers bloom without people meddling with them.
Well, yeah, but
I thought maybe I should.
But the wildflowers don't have to go down through a thick layer of centipede grass either. You know, that's not natural. The weed killer that they use that just kill grasses, it is fine. It's not going to cause any problems in the environment, but it only works when the grasses are actively growing. So we're talking about next April or May. You know, they're not going to do any good. So for right now, if you'll just rake up or till up or just hoe, just open up to where you can see dirt.
Yeah.
In a few places here and there, throw some wildflower seed and need to get on it because wildflowers have already started sprouting.
I know. I'm behind. I've been meaning to call you for 3 weeks and I've got tangled up.
Well, here's something else. When you go down to the co-op, I don't know if they've got a co-op. I know they got a place there on the highway, one of the highways there in Waynesboro, because I got a daughter-in-law from Waynesboro.
Yeah.
But anyway, go there and get some seeds of crimson clover. And put a lot of crimson clover here and there. Again, as long as the seed's touching the dirt, it'll come up. But crimson clover is cheap, it's pretty, it gives instant gratification. And then take it. And as far as the wildflower seed mixes, have you already got your seeds?
I've got some. And the other thing I ask you, how long can you keep them? I was going to order some fresh ones. I was afraid that maybe they were too old. I've got evening showy primrose and some of the...
Yeah, I tell you, when it comes to those details, shoot me an email. I actually wrote the publication that the Extension Service has on wildflowers for Mississippi meadows and lawns. I wrote that publication, and you can get that online. Go to msucares.com, and just in the little search thing for publications, do wildflowers, and you'll come up with a publication on the best way to get them started, some of the best varieties and stuff like that, and it's free.
Cool. Good deal. I'll do that. And like I said, I've been thinking about this for years, and I put some out there earlier, just hit and miss and hoping they'd come up. But I thought I really ought to do it more deliberately.
The three takeaway things, put some hard features out there over the wintertime. That'll get you started. That'll be your footprint. A little sitting area or a group of birdhouses here and there, split rail fence. Do that. And then all next summer, just mow a nice little windy path around those things. Mm-hmm. And just stop mowing the rest of the grass. Those are the first two things. And the third thing is, don't get wildflower mixes. Get a few individual things that are really dependable, and then just get a few started in bare spots here and there, and they'll take it from there.
Okay. Let me ask you one other question. This is for Fonder, where we're living now. I got this really nice big pot from Green Oaks Nursery, you know, when they put their pots on sale.
Right.
And I'm going to move it and put it behind a bench. I thought I could either put rosemary in it, or somebody brought me this little bitty Sasanqua that makes these white fluffy flowers.
Yeah.
And I thought about putting the Sasanqua in it, and I wasn't sure if that might be a good move or not.
The Sasanqua is not going to do anything. What you buy right now, that's all you got till next year, because it's just not going to grow over the wintertime. Put a rosemary in there, stick half a dozen little daffodil bulbs a little bit deeper, and put you some violas or pansies in it just to get through the wintertime. And by springtime, you'll have made your mind up about something else.
Okay.
If you want a permanent-looking plant, really good-looking plant, get you one of the dwarf type of Nandinas. They look great in pots in the wintertime. Don't need any protection or anything. But I'm thinking Nandina, clump of monkey grass, a couple of three pansies, a handful of daffodils. You're ready to go.
Yeah, see, I just didn't want something that overwhelmed the pot. That's what I was afraid of. Its root system would get too big, and I'd have this mess.
Can you put your arms around the pot?
Almost. It's a pretty big. It's about 2.5 feet tall and about the same across.
Well, I was going to say, you know, a dwarf Nandina, clump of striped monkey grass, some daffodils, and a couple of pansies. You're ready to go.
All right, now I've already got the pansies. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Felder.
All righty. See you later.
Bye. Right. Bye-bye.
Oh, Java, we got some calls right off the bat, didn't we?
I was telling Kevin we're in rare form, blowing through breaks and everything.
Oh, that's right. We skipped a break.
We did.
we could do the tune thing now, or just take a short break.
Take a short break.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks. Me and Java and Kevin Farrell in there. Kevin is our phone greeter today, Mr. Bigwig at MPB, doing a phone greeting for us. That's because it's a team effort. That's what we do here. And by the way, a lot of folks from MPB going to be down at the Trademark today, tomorrow and Sunday at the Chimneyville Craftsman's Guild thing. They've got some fun stuff for the yard, including the smallest bottle tree I've ever seen in my life. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushick. We'll be back with more of the Gestalt Gardener here on MPB right after this.
I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, professor of internal medicine and pediatrics at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. On the Original Southern Remedy, we answer questions about all aspects of your health and share some of the latest medical information in the news. You can listen to the show on Wednesdays at 11 on MPB Think Radio, or you can subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on your preferred podcasting app.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing. We were off last week because of Thanksgiving, but the week before I interviewed my old friend Pat Stone. I want to remind you, if you're not familiar with his magazine called Greenprints, the Weeder's Digest, make a note to go online. Go to greenprints.com. Anyway, so a whole lot of fun. There's a whole lot of interesting things that you can be doing in the garden right now. Like I talked to Ernie, my first caller, who just moved to the south, you can plant stuff right through the wintertime, and I actually set out a bunch of stuff this past week. Got a few more bulbs to stick in the ground. Got a couple of handful of annuals that I got to put in the back of my truck garden. But if you want to see something kind of fun, go to my blog. I've got just put a post up about some people who have different artists who have painted my truck, including on a feather. And it's just astounding what's done. And at the bottom, I've got some shots from my own little garden about some of the yard art that's not homemade by me, but it's homemade by real artists and craftspeople. Some fun stuff from birdhouses, funky birdhouses, to I've got different kinds of glass objects. I've got just all sorts of stuff. Check it out, Felder Rushing blog. Just Google Felder blog, and I come up like a bad gas. Anyway, I spent this past week redoing a lot of my potted plants. When I threw them in the shack a couple of weeks ago, right before that freeze, they had leaves on them, they had lizards in them, it was just terrible. So I took them all outside, pulled them out of the pots, laid them out so I could look at them, got me some new pots, filled them with potting soil, and I just put back the ones that I really wanted to keep. I've got some to share with others, someone on the compost, because I just had too many of them. But I feel so much better because I've got new pots, fresh potting soil, all my old plants, including one I've had for over 40 years. A type of mother-in-law tongue, and one from my grandmother, an old, what they call devil's backbone. It's not a cactus, but it's got milky sap on. Anyway, took these plants, and the whole place looks a whole lot better. And there's a few other things you can be doing this time of year if you're interested. You can give me a call, and we can talk about it, but I wanted to ask Java something. Because I'm going to put you on the spot here, because, you had Thanksgiving with the family, right?
Yeah, it's all family, man. She's probably listening.
that's okay. Auntie, she brought something that wasn't traditional.
Yeah, it wasn't traditional, but, and I will say.
Okay, cover your rear here. Come on, Java.
No, I told her this. It was a cranberry mole. And I don't know how other people feel about it, but I am a cranberry sauce guy straight out the can. I want the ridges on my cranberry sauce.
The real thing straight out of the can. Looks like still got the old can ridges on it.
That's what I like. But she brought this thing kind of with fresh cranberries, and then it had apples with a hint of orange, and some recipe that she got in there.
Was it Jell-O?
It wasn't as much Jell-O as you would think, but it was in the mold.
Like a bunt mold thing.
In the bunt mold, and it was really good. It was sweet, but too sweet to mix with my dressing. Like, it was almost kind of dessert style.
Yeah, but anyway, so Auntie was, she was a lightning rod this year.
Yeah, nobody knew what was going on in that bunt cake pan until she pulled it out. So it was like, wow.
We went to my son's, and he had done a gumbo for Thanksgiving. I said, oh, no. I had that same reaction where that guy from Ole Miss acted like he was, doing a thing in the end zone.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But somebody pulled out some smoked turkey and managed to pull it all out.
Okay.
But, well, Thanksgiving is for stuff like this, too. Anyway, folks, if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We got the lines wide open. I tell you what, why don't we, because it was raining, I thought it was hailing, went outside, all my newly potted plants, I ran outside and it was just rainy and cold, and I came up with a tune I thought would be nice. Oh, by the way, before we do that, yesterday I went out and I stole some flowers, and I know she can't hear me because she's overseas right now. Well, there's a lady in a couple of neighborhoods over who has all these really interesting type of chrysanthemums. You know the one called Clara Curtis or Country Girls. It's a spreading floppy type of thing. Always blooms in October, November, in bloom right now. Big old pink thing. It will not die. It'll grow in cemeteries. Anyway, I found a whole bunch of different kinds of this. And to be honest, this lady told me a couple of years ago that she'd be glad to share with me. Well, they were in bloom yesterday, so I could see what they were. And I got just a few pieces here and there of each one and left the rest of them for her. But anyway, if you want to see some of these varieties of hardy heirloom garden mums, not these old cushion things you get at the garden, the kind that will be there for decades. We're going to post that on our blog as soon as we get off the air. But anyway, let's do a real quick little tune, a little cheesy thing that'll sort of brighten you up. And we're going to go with the tune right now. I'm horticulturist here at Felder Rushing here at MPB. I need some coffee.
Smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Podcasts of your favorite MPB Think Radio programs are available now. With any podcast app, you can search, subscribe, and never miss a second of MPB Think Radio.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Phil DeRushing. You want to give us a call? We've got the lines wide open. It's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. Glad to chat with you about whatever's going on in your garden. Anyway, give us a call. Meanwhile, I want to mention that, again, that I've started a collection of these heirloom garden mums. They're not the regular chrysanthemums, they're not florist mums, they're not cushion mums. They're an old, there's an heirloom variety. The plants kind of flop, but they bloom in October, November, December, astoundingly durable plants. And if you want to make them thicker, all you got to do is in the springtime, just the new growth, just snip it back and it'll bush out. And if you want to come back in the middle of summer and snip the new growth after that, it'll keep them from being long and floppy and sprawly, and you'll have a lot more flowers. And they come in colors. I mean, I've got, and matter of fact, if anybody's got any you'd like to share besides the country girls, that'd be great. But anyway, I've got all sorts of, I got deep red, double, singles, yellow, little maroon buttons. I got orange ones, white ones, deep pink ones, all different kinds. And I'm getting these in the hands. I'm collecting them, put them in my garden, growing them out, going to give them to a wholesale grower next year, see if we can't get some of these on the market. There are mums besides country girls or Clara Curtis out there. And that's what I'm doing. I'm mining your gardens for heirlooms that will be great plants for the future. Meanwhile, let's go up to Bobby and Brandon. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hey, Ralph Felder, how you doing?
So far, they have all these messages for me right at my bifocal line. what you got going on?
I was wondering about fig trees, how you propagate them. I mean, do you do it from cuttings?
Yeah, you take a cutting about a foot long and cut it off and stick it about a third of the way, half the way in the dirt or in some pots, and they'll root like ringing a bell.
Hormone on that, or just
no? Figs have been grown for thousands of years by people who didn't know what rooting hormones were. They just break them, cut them off, stick them right in the ground. And okay. If you want to stick two or three in a pot, that way, if you don't have good luck, at least one of them will make it. But this is a good time. You can do it anytime in the fall, the winter. You can even do it in the summertime. But right now is a good time.
No, you speak of the long term. The they've been in the family for like 100 years.
Oh, where is it? Is it in Mississippi?
Yeah, I have some here. I'm from Boston, of course. I have some here in Brandon, and they all come from Homewood, just outside of Forest.
Okay, well, I tell you what. Make a note to shoot me an email. I've got a couple of people who do this kind of stuff. I root them myself, but let's put two or three of us together to make sure we get at least one of them for you. And if it roots really well, I might want to keep one myself.
I'm with you on that. What's your email?
Garden@mpbonline.org.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I want the history of it too. This is what makes a community here.
Well, this goes back to before the Civil War.
Okay, well, I want a piece of that too. And does it make good figs?
Oh, fantastic.
Wait a second. Where did you say you're from?
Austin.
Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Yankee.
No, really? Did you say Austin or Boston?
Austin.
What do you know about figs? You're from cherry and cranberry country. Let's get together. Mm-hmm. Let's do some cultural, some cross cultural stuff with that fig tree.
Sounds fantastic, Felder.
Okay, Bobby. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Okay, now let's go to Madison. Talk with John. Hey, John. Good morning, sir.
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. What's up?
I've got a new or rejuvenated retention pond out behind my house, and it's bare ground right now. I think they seeded it with some kind of maybe winter rye or something, but mm-hmm. I was wondering what else I might could put there. And also, if I could plant a cypress trees down, and how would I go about that?
Yeah, by the way, I think a cypress tree is appropriate, especially put it right at the water's edge. It makes the pond look better without boogering up the levee and all. You don't want to put anything on the levee itself because the roots can booger up the levee. But put you rather than one cypress tree. Is it a pretty good sized pond?
half an acre.
Yeah. Instead of one tree, I'd plant maybe three of them about 15 feet apart, 10 or 15 feet apart. They'll look better from a distance. And all you got to do is get you some small cypress trees, anywhere from knee high to head high, and pull them out of the pot, loosen the roots up, and just stick them in the dirt right at the right above the water's edge. And if you do that over the wintertime, they'll be... You'll never have to do another thing to them. But a group of them, a few feet apart, is going to look better and be less likely than the one you put out there to get hit by lightning or something.
Okay. And what about the – is there something I can put better than that winter rye? Well, what about the crimson clover?
The crimson clover would do well. I like crimson clover better because it's got more leaves, and you need to do something that's going to slow the rainfall down before it hits the ground. And the ryegrass is, it can, over the wintertime, if it's not well established, rain and all like that can eat right through it. But it gets a little bit late. Usually this stuff is put out in October, early November. So we run the risk of before it, just when it sprouts, a hard freeze killing it. But I throw some crimson clover, white clover if they don't have it, and I do it this weekend if you could.
Okay. Do you think I can get cypress trees around here, or do I have to get them?
Oh, yeah. Online? Yeah. I've seen them at several garden centers. I can give you the names of some, but I don't want to do it over the air because this thing goes all over the country. But but keep in mind, a small one, knee high, waist high, head high, is always better than a bigger one. They'll get established; they're cheaper too. But I know a couple of places. But again, a group, three or four or five. And while you're at it, see if in between them you can put a palmetto palm.
Okay.
It's not a palm tree. It's our native palm, and you typically see palmettos and cypress growing together. So it's it has great big leaves, but never gets more than about waist high, head, chest high, something like that. It's
a great idea.
Great combination too.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, shoot me an email, and I'll put you in touch with some folks I know got some cypress trees.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, John. See ya. Bye. Toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. I want to remind folks, MPB is one of the sponsors of the Craftsman's Guild, their annual Chimneyville event that's at the fairgrounds. And I didn't know that till this morning. I was going to talk about Java. You told me that this morning. I didn't know MPB was sponsoring it.
Well, a lot of our communications team is down there, so, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Well, I saw the tent, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to be giving out buttons and T-shirts and stuff, but it's fun. Anyway, if you're down there, look for one guy in particular has bottle trees, including the smallest bottle tree I've ever seen, except for the one I made with buttons for the back of my little pickup truck. Kevin Farrell has one on his desk. It's about, 4, 5, 6 inches tall with tiny little bottles, and I'm thinking... Because we just lost a staff member. He moved back home to Wisconsin, and he had to leave his real bottle tree behind. I'm thinking about slipping one of those in a box to him. Anyway, little bitty bottle trees, gourds, arts and crafts, outdoor stuff, interesting, big, medium, and small things. It's at the Trademark Fairgrounds Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll probably see you there because I waft around it myself. Meanwhile, let's go down to Mobile and talk with a lady I haven't heard from in a long time. How are you, Mikey?
Hey, I've been missing you too, Builder, a whole bunch. Glad to have you back in the Mississippi area.
I've been here for months and months and months.
I know, but yeah. I still miss you.
I appreciate that. What you got going on today?
I've been doing more killing stuff than trying to get stuff to grow, but my question is about the one that I'm trying to get to grow. I was given about a year ago what I was told is a terrestrial orchid. Now, I've grown the other orchids, but I've never grown a terrestrial, and I don't know what to do with it. It's in a pot, but the potting soil is compacted so much that it obviously needs to... at least have some more put underneath it. And someone advised me that because it's got such long roots, it kind of looks like a bamboo, but it's got really long trailing roots. And someone told me that since it's about 15 inches tall now, that I should maybe divide it. So can you help me?
Well, not without knowing what kind it is. There's a lot of we have a lot of native terrestrial orchids, that grow in Alabama and Mississippi. But, there are also some from overseas. And you know, without knowing which one it was, if you could send me a picture of it, at least I could, you know, make some sort of recommendation. But if you wanted to repot it, don't just pull, you know, you need to go ahead and gently loosen up the old potting soil and almost like replace it. Don't just put some stuff on top or beneath it, because that's all it'll grow. In other words, you need to mix it in with the roots. And when you pull it out, you should be able to find out, should be pretty obvious, Mikey, if it's individual plants with roots that can be popped apart. It'll sort of tell you if it can be divided or not. But
because
you'll have, you know, two or three or more different plants, and each one will have its own roots. Just pop them apart like you would monkey grass, I guess.
Well, one of the three branches, I'll call them for lack of a better word, has been obviously clipped back in the past.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. Without knowing what it is, without seeing a picture, I'm at my end.
Is it winter hardy, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. I don't, you know, orchids are one of the largest families on Earth, and a lot of them are terrestrial, but without seeing it, you know, and it might not even be an orchid. There are a lot of plants that are called orchids that aren't.
I know, and no labels came with it. Just, here it is.
Well,
you know, it's in a red pot.
If you shoot me a picture, we can take it from there.
Thank you so much, Fielder.
Okay, Mikey.
Have a good holiday.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Okay, you know, there's all sorts of ways that I can shrug my shoulders, but I'm just saying, here's what it sounds like. That's what a shoulder shrug sounds like. But garden@mpbonline.org puts us in on a different plane of learning. Oh, we toll free 1-877-MPB ring. Meanwhile, remember the Craftsman Guild. And if you see the gourd, thunder gourd guy, tell him you heard it on MPB.
Contractor ever tell you the price of something and it sounds so high you think, maybe I'll try it myself? Some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
All righty, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Fielder Rushing. I just went to my own blog, Fielder Rushing blog, and I see pictures of artist-made gates, ceramic flowers, thunder gourds, bottle trees, glass things, little human sculptures, birdhouses, and more, including a bat that's made out of a copper toilet tank float. Anyway, you don't see some of that. Go to Fielder Rushing blog. I won't say anything. And also, you can see where Wyatt Waters and Elaine Mazel, who paints on feathers, and my own daughter Zoe have painted pictures of my old truck with a garden in the back. Hey, let's talk with Angela. She's calling from Meridian. Hey, Angela. Is it Angie? How do you say it?
Angela.
Okay. Because
yeah.
Kevin put an extra E in there and it threw me off.
Oh.
What's up?
Well, I had heard you at the Max, and you had talked about forcing paper whites in the alcohol water mixture.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the Van Zuyverdon bulb sale and got a ton of amaryllis bulbs, and I was just wondering if that would also work with an amaryllis.
I don't know, because the ones that force best are the ones that don't need any kind of cold treatment. You know, a lot of daffodils have to go through a certain cold spell before they bloom right. And the paper whites, which are called tazettas, T-A-Z-E-T-T-A, if it's a type of tazetta, that whole group of daffodils, they bloom early and fast. And they're the ones that are most often forced in water or gravel or whatever. So I don't know.
So, okay, so I need to do one in water and one without and send you the results?
Well, better yet, you haven't started yet, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay, shoot me an email and then with the name of the bulb, and I can scratch my head quicker than you can.
Okay, because I guess they were wanting to get rid of them. I made my selection, and then they tossed them in my cart after I paid. And so I'm like, oh, I can play around with these.
Yeah, if they're Tazettas, if there's Narcissus Tazettas, a lot of different kinds. Paper Weiss is a common name for a lot of Tazettas. They all do pretty well in water or the alcohol thing.
Yeah, but I was wondering if it would also work with the Amaryllis.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No.
Okay.
I got to scratch my head, and I ain't got enough time this morning. But I can do it as soon as I get home. Shoot me an email.
Okay, I will.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to be back at the Max in April, I think. April. We're going to do a thing. It's going to be fun.
Okay, great. I look forward to it.
See you, lady.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, let's slide down to Fairhope, Alabama. Hey, Cynthia, good morning.
Hey, Felder.
Good morning. What's up?
I've got some beds in front of my front porch with agapanthus, the beautiful deep blue kind that get kind of big.
Right.
And they're just cramming themselves together. They're not even spreading towards open ground. They're spreading towards the corner.
They're huddling against the cold.
Right, where the stairs meet the porch. And I need to divide them, but they're so tightly packed, I don't even see where to get a spade in there. And I wonder if you can give me some advice.
Yeah, how big around is the clump?
Oh, let's see, 3x4 maybe.
Oh, that's a big one. What I would suggest is just dig in, and yeah, you're gonna kill some plants. You can chop through a few, but you got enough to spare. Okay, they sort of expect it. They've been huddling together, expecting this to happen.
Okay.
So if you shovel. If you don't have a flat-bladed file to sharpen it, take it to an Ace Hardware. They'll sharpen it for you for like a dollar. Anyway, it just slices right through it nice and clean. You won't hurt yourself, and it'll make a cleaner cut. So just dig in. That's all you can do. You know, if you could dig the whole clump up, set it aside, pull them apart, put a few back in, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I've done that before. It's the best, but it's not any fun.
Well,
so all you can do is have at it. But a sharp shovel makes 100%, 200% difference.
And would they do okay in pots? Like if I could pull one apart and
they do fine. They do fine. They don't like really lightweight potting soil because these plants, believe it or not, they like to stay a little on the moist side. They'll tolerate drought. I've seen them growing in the parking lot strips. In the Mojave Desert, they'll take heat and drought, but if you put it in a pot, they're likely to dry out a week or two sometime in the summer, and that'll cause them problems. So make sure it's a pretty good potting soil.
Okay, great. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, Cynthia, good luck, and sharpen that blade.
Yeah, okay.
See ya. Okay, now let's go to Gulfport. Lester, caller from the coast. Yes. What's up?
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, good. Look, I got a mango tree that I'm growing. I grew it from a seed, and it's about 3 foot tall now. Is there anything I need to do to make sure this tree grow up and bear fruit? I mean, does it need pruning or anything like that, or grafting?
Well, have you got this in a pot or what?
Yes, in a pot.
Okay, yeah. You're gonna need to keep it in the pot because it'll freeze even on the Gulf Coast if you leave it outside. Because you have to keep it in a pot, you want to treat it more like a bush in a tree. So what I do is I cut the top of it out, and this will make it bush out. And then if you got more than maybe three or four branches, thin them out to just three or four. And then when they get a couple of feet long, cut the tips off of those. And then you got some little, like a miniature tree, sort of like a bonsai tree. It'd be a lot easier to drag in and out. And Lester, I would leave it outside all the time unless it's going to get down below – you know, in the 30s, 30-35 or so.
Uh-huh.
And that'll by cutting it back, making it bush out, it'll be a lot easier on your back to move it in and out.
Good. Now, like I say, there's nothing. I don't need to do any grafting, anything like that to it. It's just going to grow up, and if it's going to make fruit, it's going to make fruit, correct?
That's right. You know, I see mangoes producing fruit in greenhouses, but, you know, they're pretty good-sized trees where they normally come from, so you're going to have to just keep it bobbed back into a bush more than anything.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you.
Hey, I tell you something else you could do. You know, go get some inexpensive little Christmas balls and, you know, like on a Christmas tree and hang them on the branches. Give you something to look at till it makes fruit.
Okay. Well, yeah.
You know, put a little fake birdhouse, but do, you know, have fun with it. You cannot embarrass a plant in a pot.
Right.
So have some fun with it.
Yeah, okay, we will. Thank you so much.
Okay, appreciate it, Lester. Java, did I just say that? Did I just say that?
That should be like on a T-shirt. You cannot embarrass a plant in a pot.
I like that. I like that. We're going to have a button with that. Anyway, folks, I've had a good time today. It's been kind of a little bit rowdy, or maybe it's just me and the coffee. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I saw some blue skies creeping up over the horizon while I was driving with my windshield wipers on. I'm not sure, but maybe it's because of the Craftsman's Guild thing down at the fairgrounds. There's some really fun folks there. They are desperately cheerful, and they want to talk with you about stuff. So even if you don't get anything, go down there. It'll brighten your spirits. A lot of fun stuff. Here at MPB, it's a team effort. It's a team effort. We like to bring, help support the arts. We like to support all sorts of things that make people feel better about their lives. And that's what Gestalt Garden does. We bring people together in a way that, well, we don't care who you are, who your mom and them are, what your politics, religion are. We want to talk about plants. Go to Felder Rushing blog and look at some of the yard art that's in my little yard, my truck. See if that doesn't cheer you up a little bit. Help stimulate you to do something yourself. Hey, I tell you what, this weekend, take a kid to the Craftsman Guild if you're near Jackson, or take them to a garden center. Get them a sack of bulbs and a pansy or two and a pot and show them how to do what we do best, and that's get dirty. Hey, see y'all next week.